All right, today marks the fourth Sunday of Advent season and season of longing and then waiting the arrival of Christ, the Messiah. So we've set the backdrop in the last 3 weeks and we set the kind of stage for today that we talked about God's created order. We talked about the fall, what occurred, what took place in the Garden of Eden and that caused for separation between God and man. And last week, this past week, we talked about how God had a plan to restore the broken relationship between himself and the mankind. So here we are today, celebrating the fourth and last of Advent season, and we get to talk about no other than the coming of the Messiah, our Lord Jesus Christ. So are you excited today? Hope you guys are. And I love that the praise team took the time to prepare all the songs of rejoicing and celebrating. I mean, of all the Sundays, guys, I mean, today's the day we get to smile and celebrate and declare our faith and hope in Jesus Christ. So I hope you guys can join me in exploring through God's word and be encouraged and be reminded that we have the reason to rejoice today. If you're with me, if you're here, if you have your Bibles, to meet me in the Gospel of Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2, verse 25. And we are going to read all the way from 25 to verse 35, 11 verses in total, and we shall read together. Luke chapter 2, verse 25 through 35. And there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and this man was righteous and devout, looking for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. And it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord Christ. And he came in the Spirit into the temple. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to carry out for him the custom of the law, then he took him into his arms and blessed God and said, "Now, Lord, you are releasing your bondservant to depart in peace according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the presence of all peoples, a light of revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people Israel." And his father and mother were amazed at the things which were being said about him. And Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, "Behold, this child is appointed for the fall and rise of many Israel, and for a sign to be opposed, and a sword will pierce even your own soul, to the end that thoughts from many hearts may be revealed." Amen. Would you bow your heads with me in prayer? God, we thank you for gathering all of us here on this beautiful, beautiful Christmas Sunday morning, afternoon, God. God, I pray, would you open up our hearts, God? May we celebrate not the gifts. May we celebrate not the blessings. God, this is not just a season where we count our blessings, Lord. God, we gather together for the specific purpose of rejoicing that the Messiah, the Savior, has been born to us, God. And in whom that we can hope, Lord, and we can have the joy of living forever and ever in eternity with you, Lord. So, God, I pray that you would continue to open up our hearts, Lord. God, we not only open up our hearts, God, give us the faith to surrender our lives unto you. May you be with us as we begin this time of sermon, Lord. Give us ears to hear and hearts to receive all that you have ready to impart. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He's the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger. With those specific words, God broke the silence that lasted more than 400 years. God had chose for himself to shut up. God has chosen and declared that he will no longer communicate with the people of Israel, the people whom God considered his own. For more than four centuries, the nation of Israel heard not from God. No prophet had been given to them. No king was assigned to them to rule over and to continue to convey the message that they indeed belong to God Almighty. So you could imagine the stress level. You could imagine the anxiety that grew over and over during that period. During those years, the nation of Israel experienced attacks. They were subject to even greater nations. Their rights were taken away, which they grew accustomed to. Invasion and oppression occurred all around them. Their spirits were downcast, their hope quickly vanishing. And their longing rose beyond just a political savior, but theirs were longing for the coming of the Messiah that was prophesied long ago. And they began to cry out, "Maranatha," which conveys to us, "Come, Lord, come." That had been the longing of the people of Israel, waiting for the possibility of the coming Messiah. You know, so every Jew was aware of the foretold message about how the Messiah were to come and save them. You see, it wasn't just about the pain of those who were waiting to see God to come and meet them where they were. But this season was also marked about the pain who was eager to come down and be with his beloved. It was God who declared that he could no longer bear the silence. God could no longer anymore tolerate being apart from his beloved. And God finally declared, he decided to break through the silence, and he broke into the land of humanity, and God took on the very form of a man, fulfilling many prophecies of old. And indeed, in Christ Jesus our Lord, Emmanuel has come and been with us. Emmanuel, that means God with us. So this actually happened. This is not just a story or a fairy tale that we read about. Christians had not just fabricated this story because it paints or completes the picture of the God that we want to see. But this actually took place. The Messiah, the Savior, actually did come as it had been promised to us for a very, very long time. You see, the Messiah's coming meant that man and God would be restored of their broken relationship. The chasm created by the fall, the brokenness that persisted over many generations, were all about to be restored. God, who had elected to remain hidden behind the veil, we talked about this last week, right? Because of the brokenness of the sin that was caused by the fall of man, God chose for himself to be hidden, and God created himself a meeting place where it was not accessible by any man or any human. And God decided to hide behind the thick veil created in the Holy of Holies inside the sacred temple among God's people. And no direct access without the proper sacrifices and ritual were available. And he broke through the barriers of humanity. And the Messiah was sent with and for a specific purpose. His life and death was served to fill the chasm that was created by sin. And he had to become the ultimate sacrifice that will fulfill all the demands of the law, living perfectly in every possible way and view of God. Yes, if you were to summarize the purpose of the life of Jesus, indeed, he lived just so that he could die. And when he died, the veil that signified the separation between God and man, that was torn. At the time of his death, the veil that separated God and man, it actually tore. The veil was actually 12 inches thick. So we're not just talking about a fancy a drapery here. We're not talking about just a piece of cloth. We're talking about an unbreakable barrier that was set from top to bottom, signifying that God was to be hidden. It was not to be accessed on any terms of given by a man. At the time of Christ's death, the veil, the Bible tells us, it was torn from top to bottom, as if to convey that someone above took the initiative and decided to break down the barrier that separated God himself and the mankind. This is a big, big deal. I know what you're saying. It's like, "Well, Scott, that sounds nice, but such message is actually reserved for the season of Easter. We don't talk about the death. We don't talk about the tearing of the veil. We don't talk about the atonement of sin until it's time or the season of Easter." Well, you have to understand, you probably want to hear the birth stories. You would probably want to hear about a cute little baby Jesus, right? The manger, the angels, the shepherds, you know. Heck, tell me about Mary's song. Tell me about all the cute stuff of the birth of Jesus Christ. You see, the only way that the birth of Christ becomes any significant by any measure is by the way of understanding the mission of the Christ. Unless you understand the very purpose of his life, and that purpose of his life includes the purpose of his death. Unless we understand the purpose of his coming, we can't properly celebrate today, which is Christmas. Understand this. Christ came for the specific purpose of restoring the barrier or mending of the broken relationship that took place between God and man. So this is what they have been waiting for centuries upon centuries, dating all the way back since the incident in the garden. People have been waiting for the restoration of this broken relationship. And now finally, centuries and literally thousands of years later, we come to the text that we have just read. And let me read to you again. And there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And this man was righteous and devout, looking for the consolation of Israel. Look, pay attention to the last words of that particular verse. He's saying this man who was old, he was righteous and devout, he was looking for the consolation of Israel. He's talking about the longing and the groaning of the waiting of the entire nation of Israel. Meaning something was missing, something was not right, and the entire nation upon generations had been waiting for this day. There was a problem that took place among them. And we see an old man here, waiting and waiting for something to happen, for the Messiah to come. You see a man in this passage, you see an old man, a promise was given to him. It was promised by the angels of God himself. And he longed for the consolation of Israel. He was longing for the Messiah to finally come. And finally, when he sees the unveiled God. He celebrates, he rejoices with those around him. But there are a few more nuggets that I think you and I can really glean from and to really help us to properly celebrate and commemorate a day such as today. So would you explore with me just a quick 3 points here. First, meaning of encountering the Messiah. Let his birth prepare you to die. Would you turn to your neighbor and say, let his birth prepare you to die. Let his birth prepare you to die, okay? Verse 26 tells us that it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. So he was promised by the angel of God that he would see while he was alive. He would certainly not die before the arrival of the Messiah himself. And verse 27 continues on, and he came in the spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to carry out for him the custom of the law, he's talking about the 40 days after the actual birth, and this was in every Jew, a Jew born to the family, and this was in their customs to be presented and dedicated in the temple. And this is what's happening here. Verse 28, then he took him into his arms and blessed God and said, now, Lord, this is Simeon, this is old man, this dying man of old age. Now he's saying, now, Lord. You see, this now holds singular power. It is declaration. It is an announcement that signals a dramatic change has occurred. It is a decisive moment that had dawned upon them that would transform everything. That word now is equivalent to another English phrase, which is translated at last, meaning finally. It accounts for all the days and every moment in the past leading up to this particular moment. So when Simeon says now, it's that word, singular word, that now conveys all the groanings, all the stress, all the painstaking moments leading up to this point. Then now, finally, there's a sigh of relief. Finally, I can relax. Finally, if the Lord calls me today, I would be okay if my life ends today. Finally, at last, waiting to meet somebody, waiting for this moment to be finally realized. Some of you guys know the love story between my wife and I, or the dating, or the relationship history. We had shared a long history of dating and many dramatic moments caused by our immaturity on both parts, right? I used to say many years that it was my immaturity, but finally, shared agree with me that it was immaturity on both of our parts. So because of that dramatic, I mean, we spent, we had actually dated about 2 years and 9 months, and we broke up and said, this is it. I don't want anything to do with you. And likewise, and that was it. We were good for almost 2 years. And I was living in Afghanistan at that time, and God had just an amazing work and like painstaking like season where I would just be immensely depressed, and I would like seek the purpose of life, right? So finally, long story short, I came around and said, you know what? I'm going to take a step of faith. I reached out. Long story short, she said, yes, let's try this again. So we actually got together over emails. The internet connection was very shoddy, so no instant messaging. We tried AIM. You guys remember those days? We tried, but it didn't really work. So all of our exchanges had been through emails, and we decided, we actually got together in the month of October, late October. We said, you know what? I don't have to wait anymore. I don't have to stress over anymore. Now I'm actually ready to marry you, and I want to come home, and let's get this deal done. So here I am after 2 months of waiting and dating, exchanging emails and messages. My heart was just growing with even growing love for my to-be wife. And I remember finally I purchased the tickets to come see, right? I was 8,800 miles away. I remember I had three different plane tickets. I had crossing four different countries. I remember taking off 2 hours of driving from where I lived to the border, and another 30-minute ferry ride crossing the border, 3 hours driving from the border to the airport, having a layover, and taking six 3-hour flight to Kazakhstan. I had to stay over another night because of the flight wasn't available until the next morning. The whole time, my heart was just growing, imagining what she would look like, because I hadn't seen her in months. Imagine what it would feel like to finally see her face to face. But I couldn't be there yet, right? And I'm just remembering, like, staying over now. Okay, finally, okay, another 6-hour flight from Kazakhstan to Seoul. That was a long flight. Finally, I see the transformation of these countries, right? I'm going from a very poor country, right? People are not wearing seatbelts in the airplane, you know, all these things. I'm finally arriving in Korea, and now I'm like, okay, this is so close, right? Because now there's no more customs. There's one more flight left, 12-hour flight left. If I were to get off the plane and exit out of the gate, there she would stand. Finally, here I am after 12 hours of flying from Seoul to L.A., and I get off the plane. I exit through I come out of my gate, and there she is standing in the fullness of glory and splendor, wearing blue jeans, and I will never forget, quarter-sleeve black V-neck sweater. And you had a short hair back then. And I remember seeing her, and in my heart I said, finally, at last, my love. And at first it was kind of awkward because we hadn't seen each other. We made the decision, but I remember that embrace. I remember, this is it. Were you happy? I mean, this is what was going through in my mind. She's mad dogging me right now, so I'm kind of afraid to look at her. I hope it was as good for her as it was for me. Do you guys understand? So the longing in my heart, total travel time, 18 hours, just airplane, 3 days of waiting. All I can do in my heart and my hand is just imagine that moment, what it would be like. You see, Simeon was that. He could only, leading up to that moment, he could only imagine. He had only heard about the Messiah being among men. He had only wished in his heart that it would happen as promised during his lifetime. And when it finally happened, finally he let out a sigh of relief. He finally felt in his spirit that it was okay for him to leave his life here on earth. And this is a case with Simeon. Verse 30, "For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the presence of all peoples, a light of revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people Israel. You see, and this long waiting what gave Simeon peace to face his death was that he himself had seen the one and only Christ who secures salvation for us. Now he was ready to die because Jesus, our Savior, was finally born. He believed without even knowing how it would all end. He looked at an infant and saw God's solution to an endless and eternal problem of man and its sin. He was able to finally rest in peace. The birth of Jesus signaled now the time of the death of a man who had been waiting for a long time. So I claim to you this morning or this afternoon or whatever time it is right now, the birth of Jesus prepares you to die. Amen? And that's the good news that you and I have in our Lord Jesus Christ. For some of you, like myself, it may be difficult to recall what it was like when you graduated high school. I graduated high school more than 20 years ago, exactly 20, almost 24 years now. When you graduate high school, in the yearbook, they ask you to write something. Your last words, I don't know who it's actually for. I guess for your classmates or the last words that you want to remember by. You guys remember doing that? And under every graduate name, you're allowed to put all the clubs that you belong to, all the accolades, all the things. If you're like me, we had nothing under my name. That's okay. I knew that my identity in Christ was secure. And then they say, leave us a quote. Just say anything. And these are the last words that you would be remembered by. I remember, I don't know for why, what reason, but I remember really stressing like a lot for this. Man, I'm going to be remembered forever by all of these friends later that you realize 3 years later, you will never see them again. So I remember stressing over. I remember going through like books. I remember reading through all the books. Man, what is the most important quote? Do I think of a Bible verse? Do I quote a famous philosopher? Or do I say something cool and snarky? What do I say? You know, some people, you guys know, right? Some people say, just do it. Or life is like a box of chocolates. You never know. Whatever all those things, right? I remember. I struggled. Don't laugh, okay? At that time, I thought it was pretty cheesy. But I had this inner conviction that, you know what? These will be my lasting words. My quote was, Jesus Christ, don't leave earth without him. Exactly. That exact response was exactly the response by my friends, and I could imagine all my peers. It was kind of awkward. It's like, dude, that's so cheesy, right? That's so cheesy, right? It's kind of like, what are you saying, bro? But I remember, I realized after all these years, I'm so glad, I'm so stinking proud that these were the last words. Because, I had no idea. I wasn't planning to be a pastor when I graduated high school. I had no idea that would be called into full-time ministry. But when I look back, maybe there's something prophetic nature about that. And I realize there's no other message that I could convey to you as I stand in front of you. There's no more urgent message than Jesus Christ himself. And you cannot and you must not leave this life without him. On this Christmas Day service, there is no greater message then for you to understand the urgency of salvation in your own life. There's good news for you and me that God himself has chosen to dwell among us. That you and I can cling to him with all that we have. And when we leave with fullness of security and confidence that our lives, that our future is fully secured. Amen. So Jesus Christ, do not leave earth without him. Jesus Christ, he is here. And I command you, forget about the earth. Don't leave this church today without understanding that Jesus Christ loves you. And he has chosen to die for you and me. Amen. Second point, let his life prepare you to suffer. I know, you're not really encouraged, right? Like on Christmas Day, you're talking about death. Christmas Day, you're talking about suffering. Verses 34 and 35. Simeon, this dying man. Just picture in your head right now, if you want to picture Simeon, just imagine a picture of a man that is just the oldest man possible. He's like about to pass, like right now. His white hair or no hair, like me, no hair, but just white beard. He's like on his last breath. And this is Simeon saying these words to Mary, the mother of Jesus. "Behold, this child is appointed for the fall and rise of many in Israel, and for a sign to be opposed, and a sword will pierce even your own soul, to the end that thoughts from many hearts may be revealed." In other words, this is what Simeon is saying. "Mary, this baby is going to divide this nation. He's a sign from heaven that marks the indifference and irreverence about God. And he will reveal the evil in the hearts of many people. You are either for him or against him. There is no middle ground here. To some, his coming rings heaven. To others, hell. Jesus' birth will lift up the lowly and bring down the mighty. He will unite some and divide others. People will love him, and some people will follow him, or others will hate him and reject him." This is Simeon conveying these words. These are not the words that you want to hear at the time of dedication. You know, we dedicate plenty of children and babies at Rooftop Church because we're a blessed church. We're always blessed with young babies here. Can you imagine at the time of baby dedication, me as a pastor and the leader of one of the many fathers of this house, I say, you know what? The birth and life of this precious baby, you know what? Many people will suffer as a result of your life. I want to be very cautious about saying a name because, you know, can you imagine, like, let's say I'm dedicating baby Tavis. This baby Tavis will bring about division among mankind. This baby Tavis will bring about suffering. Can you imagine as a parent, like your daddy's right there, your mom's right there, it's like, "Dude, what is wrong with this guy? Scott, what is wrong with you, man? This is my kid you're talking about." Simeon is doing exactly that. This is at the time of baby dedication inside the temple, and Mary is standing right there, and Simeon is basically saying, because of Jesus, because of this baby's life, many will feel the suffering. Their lives will be much harder as a result of this baby. Now, you need to understand, as a follower, as a worshiper, as a follower of Jesus Christ, that your life, that my life to a certain extent, is marked by suffering. You see, Christ's birth, his life in us, signals the death of our own flesh. His life and his living and his activity as a continual influence in our lives will signify the death in ourselves. Dying to self, selfish ambitions and carnal desires, the temporal purposes in all of us. You know, many years later, from that moment, Apostle Paul, who bore in his body the marks of the Lord Jesus, said this in Philippians 1, 27 to 29. He says that we must live as citizens of heaven, conducting ourselves in a manner worthy of the good news about Christ. You see, now, there's now a different purpose which we live by. Our sight is set somewhere else. Paul reminds us that we are no longer of this world. We're in this world, but we're not of this world. That our citizenship is actually in heaven. And he encourages us that upon receiving Jesus Christ into our hearts, that we must no longer resemble the world that we live in. Life with Jesus is not going to be easy. His purposes brought him to the cross. If you follow him, his purposes will take you there as well. And now, let the meaning of this Christmas transform all of your suffering. Some of you guys may find yourselves today in a place of hopelessness. Maybe perhaps you're not in a good place. Maybe you have hit a bump on the road of your life. Maybe you're in the deepest pit of your entire life, in your Christian life. But let me remind you Be reminded that your current circumstances, present suffering is not a reminder that you have been abandoned by God, but it is a reminder that God has been with you every single turn of your life, that God who has decided to be with you because his birth signified invitation for you to join him in his birth and his death and even resurrection, that you will live precisely the life that Jesus Christ himself lived. So seek his grace in times of need, that the suffering might have the perfect work in you and through you. Third and last point here. Let this be the day of your willing surrender. Turn to your neighbor and say, hey, let this be the day of your willing surrender. Come on. So what does this all mean for us today? What does this Christmas mean for you and me? Let me share a word of caution. In the bright lights of our festivities, endless sharing of our blessings in the form of food and gifts, Christmas even hasn't hit yet. I think I participated already in 3 parties altogether, and I have more to come. So let me remind you, though, just be cautious, okay, that we celebrate, we rejoice, we loudly express how happy we are. But that is not the purpose of Christmas. That is not the reason for our celebration. But make no mistake that the reason you rejoice today, if it is for any other reason than the good news itself, if it is for any other reason than the God who made a plan long, long ago to be with you, to intimately commune with you without any barriers and inhibitions, like the days of Eden, that he chose to surrender his only begotten son to be born among men, that he walked the earth, he engaged sinners like you and me, he continues to beckon us to himself, that we may draw closer to him. If it is for any other reason to celebrate God that he has decided to reside among us, then you don't know the meaning of Christmas. Then your celebration, that your rejoicing, will all be in vain. I hate to break this to you, but I have to submit this truth to all of you that is here. Christmas is not for everyone. You may celebrate. The whole world might celebrate in some form or sense, may celebrate Christmas. But not everyone is celebrating and rejoicing in the way that it was meant to be celebrated and remembered. Unless you receive Jesus as the Lord, as the Messiah, as the answer to the lifelong problem of man. Unless he becomes a personal savior, unless he becomes a personal answer to your lifelong inquiry, that you do not properly celebrate this day. It's not for those who have just seen. It's not only seen or heard about the coming of Messiah, but the Bible tells us that it is beholding. The word is worth paying attention to, because the word behold, it is seeing with attention. It is it's to perceive by sight. It's to look and embrace with clear intent. So unless you're intentional about receiving Christ as the Messiah, as a long-awaited answer to your problems and questions, that you do not properly celebrate Christmas. So may I submit to you today that that is the invitation. I pray that you may hear the good news of Jesus Christ. And I'm proclaiming today that good news, that the message of hope is available for us today. That you do not have to live another day. You do not have to live another moment wondering what life would be like. After death, that you can be fully secured that the salvation belongs as you place your faith in Jesus Christ. And I pray, it is my desire and prayer that all of us are reminded in this season, that's what we celebrate. And for whatever reasons, that you may be one that is kind of wondering, hey, I've been to the church, but I don't really know. And I go because they're nice people. I go because people love me and care for me. I got news for you, folks. You come to church for the fellowship and the love of your friends and people that really like you and accept you, you're missing out. I tell you what, man. I mean, what's the saying? We may be surprised who we see in heaven, but we will also be surprised by who we will not see in heaven. And I pray the invitation is there. Would you receive Jesus into your heart today? Would you behold him? Would you not just see him or hear him, but would you behold him with willing intent? Receive him fully to your heart. Amen, church? Amen? Come on, church. And that's the reason why we celebrate. We celebrate that God has unveiled himself. God says, you know what? I'm tired of waiting. I'm tired of not being accessible by the people that I love. So he chose for himself that no more. No more separation. No more silence. No more darkness. Here I am. Now Christ, the Messiah himself, is among us.